Jaguars. WJXL-FM, Jacksonville.
K10XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville.
1010XL and your First Coast Honda dealers present the somewhat less than famous High Flyin' Radio Hour, the show about aviation, airplanes, and things above the ground, with High Flyin' Jack O'Brien and the Wiener, along with special guest pilots, former naval aviator and commercial airline pilot Garfield Benson, former air traffic controller and commercial pilot Bob Camm, commercial pilot Bill Stoll, former naval aviator and flight instructor John Nafak, and High Flyin's co-host Joel Wiener, starring as the Wiener. Today's High Flyin' Radio Hour is brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers, by the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, by the U.S. Army Recruitment Battalion, by Aircraft General Supply, by USA Airport Parking, and by Ascent Aviation. And now, here's the host of the High Flyin' Hour, High Flyin' Jack O'Brien. I believe it's time for me to fly.
Hello, everybody, and a very good morning to you from the High Flyin' Radio Hour. I am High Flyin' Jack O'Brien here at 1010XL, Jacksonville Sports Radio, along with my good friends and commercial and aviation pilots and guys that really know the business, Naval Aviator Garfield Benson, Naval Aviator John Nafak, who's now a certified flight instructor with Ascent Aviation. Also in the room today is another CFI, a gentleman who is with Ascent Aviation, a gentleman by the name of Rhett Steele. He'll be joining us this morning and talking to us a little bit about what it's like to teach brand new people who are learning how to fly. And there's no better place to start the fun this morning or, well, watch the Masters this afternoon than at the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant. They've been with the High Flyin' Show for a long time now, and you can enjoy their famous Sunday morning brunch and perhaps then head upstairs to the penthouse lounge and take a look at the action on the beach today. It's going to be a beautiful day. General aviation weather-wise, John Nafak, you were sharing with me this morning that it is a perfect day for GA pilots.
A wonderful day out there. The winds are calm and variable, and it'll be bright and sunny all day. You can't beat it.
Yeah, no wind though, huh?
No wind at all. I said you could go out and fly a paper airplane today and have a great experience with it. You know,
well, it's good to see you again, and welcome back to the High Flyin' Radio Hour. And Garfield Benson, what have you been up to? What's been on your plate lately?
Well, not much since I've been retired. I try to stay up most of the day without sleeping very much, and then I get a good night's sleep and do the same thing again. I've got no stress life, but somehow or another, when I retired 23 years ago, I had a full set of hair, whole head of hair, and I think the stress of retirement has turned me into a pool cue.
I see you've had some nose work done. You having a little cosmetic surgery, are we?
Well, they call that Mohs surgery, yes, and they put a little zipper down the middle of my nose.
Ooh.
And so they took it out. Everything's going to be fine, just an old man having to do. We've been in the sun all my life, you know, a skier, scuba diver, lover on the sands.
Golfer.
The golfer, yep. Yeah. So I'm going to pay. I paid the price.
I think it becomes you, Gar. I think you're better looking today than you've ever been.
Well, thank you. I think put some more bandages on my face then.
Our air traffic control expert and commercial pilot, Bob Camm, not here today. He's working sun and fun in Lakeland. As is Joel Wiener, my co-host, not here today. I think he's going to be calling in and let us know when he's on the air. Joel, are you with us? Are you on the phone with us this morning?
I am here. Everybody got me?
Yeah, we got you, and good morning to you, sir, and welcome to the High Flyin' Radio Hour. Let's tell us a little bit, while we have you on the phone here, what's going on with the Sun and Fun thing?
I am live at Sun and Fun at the Lakeland Airport in Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah.
This is the 50th year of Sun and Fun at this location, and a lot going on here today. The Thunderbirds are here. We've got some C-117s here out of Charleston, the A-10, F-16 demonstrations, and also an F-35 demonstration.
Now, I also understand that Sun and Fun's hosting the Warbirds as a part of Victory's Arsenal Theater.
Warbirds, last night we had, at sunset, we had the T-51 fly and the A-10 fly, Wonderful show. Great fireworks last evening. It's sort of the finale of the show Saturday night. Today they have the Thunderbirds flying at noon, and then after that everything sort of wraps up and everybody packs up and goes home.
Joel, what would you say as far as Air Venture and Sun and Fun? Obviously, Air Venture is a larger aviation convention, but what size convention or conference aviation fly-in is the Sun and Fun compared to Air Venture?
Well, there's several fly-ins across the country over the year. Oshkosh is always number one. Sun and Fun is number two. We call it spring break for pilots. All the pilots fly in from all over the country, some from all over the world, and come to Sun and Fun for a week. And this has really been a Sun and Fun week. This morning, there is not a cloud in the sky, calm wind, mid-50s temperatures. It's been a great week. We had a little weather come through on Thursday.
Yeah.
But it's been great. Personally, I'm over at the Central Florida Aviation Academy, which is a high school academy on the Sun and Fun Fairgrounds. And we're doing safety videos for the Florida Aviation Network, which will be broadcast over YouTube for safety programs all over the world for the rest of the year.
I know you're big in the safety world of aviation. Our buddy Bob Cam, former air traffic controller, who gets sideline gigs doing stuff like this because he was aged out doing his regular air traffic control.
He retired at 55.
Yeah, yes. but now he's working Sun and Fun this weekend. Yeah,
he is at Plant City working the tower at Plant City. And I talked to him on the radio when I flew in yesterday morning. Everything is good over there, and he's enjoying being part of the ATC team, which he was when he worked for the FAA. He was here part of the on staff at Lakeland, and then the surrounding airports have ATC that is contracted in, such as Winter Haven, Plant City.
Yeah.
They bring in, because of all the traffic, they bring extra air traffic control in.
And our other buddy, Bill Stull, who is on the show regularly here, is he's flying people to the Masters, so he's in Augusta.
Bill is flying one of the airplanes that I manage, flying the owners of the airplane up to the Masters today, as he did on Friday. But Masters week, I've got a lot of travel going that way, a lot of travel going to the Bahamas. Everybody wants to go. The good weather is here.
Well, April's usually a pretty good time to be up in the air. And how long can you stick with us this morning, Joel?
I've got to be on set in about another 8 minutes. So, but glad to be part of the show today. Wish everybody was down here enjoying the Sun and Fun show with me. It lasts till 5 o'clock today, and then we wrap it up for another year.
All right. Well, good. Good to stick on the phone with us. We're about to get into our typical high-flying headlines, things that have happened in the world of aviation in the past 30 days. Never ceases, Gar and John and Rhett, to amaze me about always something going on. We'll start with this. You can turn the music down just a little bit there for me. Casey Capesy Dobson is running the controls in our studio. A United flight was diverted to Dallas yesterday for an overwhelming stench of dog manure. A United Airlines flight was scheduled to go from Houston to Seattle, but they had to make a stop at Love Field after this first-class passenger brought their service dog on board who defecated in the cabin. You ever had anything like that happen to you, Gar?
Oh, thank goodness, no. You know, after 25,000 hours flying around commercial airplanes, that's a first for me to have a dog defecate in first class. Now, I've had a cub lion running around inside the airplane. There's an interesting story, but never had a dog dump on first class.
Well, you know, service animals, aren't they supposed to be, like, trained to hold their stuff until they can go outside?
They're supposed to, Jack.
Aren't they? Anyway, that's a bummer.
I think it's probably an owner problem, you know.
That's true.
Probably the guys in coach are going, hey, finally, we got a break. All right. So, well, anyway, they got the dog out, and they got the airplane cleaned up, and they were well on their way a little later on.
Well, it puts a new terminology on an airplane you'd be calling a dumpster.
Yes, it would. That's a good line. A metal thought to be from the International Space Station ripped through a Florida home last month. It happened in Naples, just south of Fort Myers. You read about that?
I heard about that, Jack. And another thing, too, it really bothers me, and we all should be this. There's a lot of trash floating around up in space. It's just floating around up there. It's been for a year, up there for years and years. Mm-hmm. And they've thought about this. I've read a couple articles on it where they're about, are they, what's going to happen to all this stuff? And some of the stuff comes back through the, what do they call it anyway, the ionosphere or something.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it burns up in descent. But some of it just it was able to come through. So who knows? We may have a deluge of space junk coming at us someday.
It's reading where they have a net, if you will, where they're going up and trying to capture some of this out space junk floating around. It is a problem, and it's going to get worse, especially since SpaceX is involved sending all those Starlink satellites up there. There's hundreds and hundreds of them that have recently been added. JetBlue is introducing surge pricing for checked bags when travelers are going at peak times. For example, peak time is now effective for the second half of April and then June 20th through Labor Day. Thanksgiving and the latter part of December, what that basically means is if you want to travel by airplane during those calendar periods, you're going to pay more with JetBlue.
Yeah, well, you've got to do something from revenue, you know, and they started that checked bags, now you have to pay, and that's just progressed into your carry-on bags. Some airlines charge you for your carry-on bags.
Well, it's getting, you're right. It's a problem because people like to carry all their stuff instead of checking the bag. They want to bring it on the plane.
Yeah, well, you got to remember this, that any 1 pound you put on an airplane, it takes gasoline to take that pound from A to B. So if you put a whole bunch of baggage on there, weight means more fuel burn, and so the companies are making up for that now with the amount of stuff that people are bringing on board and checking.
We will all pay through the nose. Now, Joel, there's been a pretty good report here. There's more pilots last year that were licensed than the year before. In fact, 13,000 more student pilot certificates were issued last year compared to the year before. What do you make of that, Joel? Is there just a big, huge interest in learning how to fly?
There's a large interest in learning how to fly, and being here at the show, we have Piedmont, American, Southwest that have a booth set up here for people to go in and apply for jobs and also be a cadet. So what the airlines are doing now is, as you're a student pilot and learning to get your license, you can sign on to be a cadet with one of the airlines, and they will help you build your hours and give you a paycheck. And then when you reach your 1,000 hours, if you're a four-year degree student, or your 1,500 hours as a commercial pilot, you walk right in as a first officer in one of the airlines.
That's a pretty good deal.
I learned that yesterday in one of our seminars we went through, and Piedmont Airlines is here, and they're a subsidiary of American, and they're here promoting hiring cadets right out of flight school with 500 hours of flight time.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it's the aviation world is wide open for those of you who have kids, grandchildren, or children, male or female. If you have a child that's not really going anywhere, well, that's one of the reasons Ascent Aviation's in the room this morning. They teach people how to fly, and they've been our high-flying sponsor for a long time now. And we're going to talk to Rhett Steele, a CFI of his own right, here in on the High Flying Hour in the next segment. One brief note, an Arkansas airport executive was killed in a shootout at the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport. This was the executive director of the airport, Brian Malinowski, who got into a shootout with the feds over his alleged activity of selling guns. Did you hear about that?
I read something about it, but nothing rang a bell because a shootout with the feds, big deal.
Well, it's something. There's always something. All right, this is the High Flying Show. It's 15 past the hour. I am High Flying Jack O'Brien, and we will return with more about how you can learn how to fly shortly after this.
I believe it's time for me to fly.
It's time for me to fly. a great call on 1010XL.
Telephone communique.
It's covered by the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
If you'd like any further information, just call me.
Listen for great phone interviews all day on the All-Pro Roofing phone line on 1010XL.
At Honda, we appreciate all the comparisons to other vehicles. And no matter how many times they compare their vehicles to a Honda, only a Honda is a Honda. Remember, value, quality, safety. There is no substitute. Visit your local Honda dealer now and experience the difference.
Owning your own plane can sometimes require parts and supplies. And that's where Aircraft General Supply can help. For over 20 years, Aircraft General Supply has been the go-to parts warehouse for anything your plane needs to stay in the air safely. Need study materials? Materials for an upcoming test or check ride? Aircraft General Store has that covered too. Aircraft General Supply. Batteries, tires, oil filters and brakes, pilot supplies, and test prep. Aircraft General Supply. St. John's Bluff Road, just south of Atlantic Boulevard.
Hey, High Flying fans. Did you know that Angie Subs has been a staple in the Jacksonville community for almost 40 years? You know why? Because Angie's loves the people of Jacksonville and the people of Jacksonville love us back. Everybody loves a Peruvian, but the next time you come in, I want you to try something different. The Dr. Bang. Dr. Bang is an Italian sub with ham and capicola, provolone cheese, and mayonnaise baked in the oven. Then we top it with our world-famous chicken salad. We sell a stupid amount of chicken salad. Angie Subs, near the intersection of Beach Boulevard and Penman. Lunch and dinner. Where all the cars are.
High flying with Jack O'Brien.
RJ Saunders here, sports lovers. I recently took a tip from Frank Frangie when I needed to send flowers to my mother. Frank told me that Kuhn Flowers is the only florist he ever uses. So that's what I do now. I use Kuhn Flowers. Find them online at kuhnflowers.com.
Mark Watson for Hardball Creative. Free promo tip. Put your logo on golf balls and give them to clients who are bad golfers. More hacks equals more exposure. Trust me, it's science. Hardballcreative.com.
Hardball Creative. Hardball does it all.
Chris Griffith with 1010XL here, and when I heard about Victors Pay Less on the High Flying Show, I didn't believe it until I finally went to see what they've been talking all about. All items in Victors are brand new, never used. Victor purchases goods through government auctions and seizures, unclaimed freight, and overstocks. Furniture, mattresses, appliances, you name it, plus many grocery supplies too. It's crazy how much money you'll save. Take it from someone who's been there. Victors Pay Less, 6612 San Juan Avenue, just off Lane.
Now, with two Learn to Fly locations, Ascent now operates in Fernandina. You can also find them at their original location at Herlong Field on the west side. If you yearn to learn how to fly, schedule your discovery flight today at ascentaviation.com.
High flying with Jack O'Brien.
The spring days are longer and the beach weather magnificent as the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant invites you to join them today. Upstairs in the Penthouse Lounge, nothing better than a Sunday afternoon with cocktails and conversation out on the patio overlooking Jacksonville Beach. But first, head there now for their sensational Sunday brunch. That's a beach springtime doubleheader. The Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, Jacksonville Beach, just a few blocks north of Beach Boulevard on First Street.
Up against the wall and trying to hit the airport on time? Let USA Park drop you right at the gate and save you time and money. High Flying Jacko here, telling you there's no faster way to get out of town. USAPark.net. It's the fast way to go.
1010XL is presented by Barra and Farah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville.
Did you know over a third of travelers lose their taste buds during flight? Well, there is an actual reason why airplane food can sometimes taste relatively bland. You see, when an airplane is flying at a high altitude, the air becomes very dry and the air pressure drops. This will force your sense of smell to drop, directly affecting how you judge the taste. Well, if you were a taste bud, you'd definitely be boarding the mild dry club when it comes to airplane food. This is your center of gravity, Cameron Griffith, for the High Flying Show.
And we are back on the High Flying Radio Hour. Jack O'Brien with Garfield Benson, John Nafat, Rhett Steele, Bob Cam, and Joel Wiener are out of town. Joel's on the phone with us, live from Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. One big radio. Joe hung up on us.
I think he's done with High Flying, do you think?
Yeah, he's pretty. Joel has his own way of doing things, you know. Hey, I wanted to take a moment to remember a guy, United States Air Force Lieutenant General Tom Stafford. You remember that name?
Yeah, he's one of the original astronauts.
Yes, he was, including four space missions, which included Apollo 10, a couple of Gemini space flights, and most notably, his command of the Apollo-Soyuz joint mission 40-some-odd years ago. He died March 18 at 93 years of age. So rest in peace, Lieutenant General Tom Stafford. The United States moon lander that recently landed on the moon...
That's on sideways?
...that tipped over sideways is now permanently asleep. Apparently, it took a couple of pictures before it died a quick death. But yet, the mission was still hailed as a success by Intuitive Machines, NASA, as it ran into a lot of problems, including the tip-over at landing.
Well, you know, it's interesting. On the touchdown, they thought it was going to be okay, but it actually landed a little crater in the moon and it turned sideways.
Yeah.
And then it tipped all the way over after it quit having thrust and stuff, and so that's what ruined it.
That was the first lunar touchdown by an American spaceship since Apollo 17 in 1972. 82, 92, 2002, 2012, 2020, 52 years ago.
Yeah, isn't that
Holy
amazing?
Mackerel. John Travolta's pilots charged with embezzling almost $800,000. Both have since been terminated. A Delta pilot jailed for alcohol incident. We talked about this last month, where he got caught with a half a bottle of Jägermeister in his suitcase, and he had consumed the other half prior to showing up to the airport. He's being jailed for like 8 months.
He can't go through a trial that quickly and get and be sentenced, I wouldn't think. What's
he's already on his way to prison, and he expects, according to what I read, to get his job back after he's out.
Well, if he goes through treatment and the FAA treatment and is fully supposedly treated,
yeah,
and he's monitored, he can go back to work. That's happened many, many times.
The eclipse happened last week, guys. Did you happen to be involved in any of the eclipse action?
Just saw it.
Yeah. It was 20 years. Actually, the solar eclipse was fairly visible in the totality areas, of course. Here in Jacksonville wasn't a lot to it, but there was still a lot of local interest. But it'll be 20 more years before you have a chance to witness another total solar eclipse here in the United States. But unfortunately, you got to go to Montana or the Dakotas to see it. Now, the next total solar eclipse will be in Europe on August the 12th, 2026. So a couple of years from now, if you're interested in going to see a total solar eclipse, you're going to have to go across the pond.
Well, I'm not planning anything more than driving my car home after this radio show because I'm getting so old, I don't know when I'm going out. So I'm not making any plans.
All right, in the studio from ASEN Aviation is, of course, the chief of operations over there, John Nafak, who spent 20 years in the Navy flying jets and landing on aircraft carriers, and then now 30-some-odd years teaching people how to fly. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jack.
It's
great to be here.
Good to see you again. And you brought one of your other CFIs. Sorry.
I did. Rhett Steele is new instructor with us over at ASENT. You've been instructing with us for about not even 30 days, is it?
Yes, sir. I joined the team back in February.
Yes, that's great. And it's been great to have you. Rhett, were you busy yesterday introducing a new student to our operation and informing him what options were available to him, were you not?
Tell us about that, Rhett.
Absolutely. So I get about two Discovery flights almost every single day. Someone new coming in trying to figure out how to, you know, be a pilot, you know. So every time they come in, I take them up for either 30 minutes or an hour. And after they finish that flight, I'll walk them through all the different programs we have to get them that flight.
Now, when somebody walks in your door at ASENT, and this is a big part of what you do, is to get them in that airplane somehow. And they obviously they're coming in of their own free volition. So they want to be in the airplane. And the Discovery flight is the way to do that, to get you engage whether there's any real hardcore interest. What do you see, Rhett, when someone walks in the door and you start talking to them about a Discovery flight? Are they anxious and want to beat a path to that airplane, or are they reluctant to get in that plane at first?
So you get all different kinds of people. Half of them, I'd say, are really, really good, ready, wanting to get after it. And then the other half, I'd say they're a little bit nervous.
Yeah. Know? I'd say one thing you always see, though, is they're grinning ear to ear every time. They can't wait, I think.
Every time they get back, they are.
Now, when I was before they go.
Yeah. When I was talking to him earlier, I asked him who was his youngest student. He said he's got a 16-year-old student.
Yes, sir. I got a 16-year-old student. He came in yesterday, actually. He's really after it. He's ready to get up in the air and learn how to fly.
What is the fastest amount of time someone has come to you to learn how to fly? What is the quickest from start to finish getting their PPL?
I've had very few people finish this quickly. What I'm going to tell you is about 30 days. And they came in with 10 grand. They put it down. They've taken off work. They don't have family to care for or be concerned with.
Right.
And they're there every day flying twice, doing ground twice. And in 30 days later, they have their license in their pocket. But very few guys are able to do that. Very few student pilots are able to accomplish that. Most people have to work it into their work routine and take care of their family if they have a family, you know. Yeah. And so it takes much, much longer, 6 months to a year in some cases.
Hey, I'm just interested to know, is that basically the cost to get a pilot's license is 10 grand?
If you do it 30 days straight and you apply yourself, 10 grand. If you take longer, it's going to cost more. We have people going for a year and takes up to 15 grand to get that private pilot's license.
That's so, about what I spent. Yeah.
So if you can concentrate into an efficient time frame like that and you apply yourself, you actually save money.
Yeah. Well, we had, what's the young lady's name? Pam, who was here. Pam Allman.
Pam Allman.
She did it in 30 days and she had to fly every day. When you do it in 30 days, you got to fly every day.
And she's doing ground every day with instructors or with some instructors in the operation place. She's going home and working on her own study time there.
Well, there's a lot of things that got to go your way. One is the weather has to go your way. Second, the plane has to be available mechanically and also availability wise. Then the CFI's got to be available. There's a lot of ingredients to getting it done in 30 days. It's not a very easy thing to accomplish.
You have to sit up ahead of time.
Yeah.
You have to schedule all that out.
Well, she did it, and she ended up being, in the end, a commercial pilot. She flew for, I think, Southwest or some airline, but in the end she did. But she was ferrying planes after she got her ticket from the United States over to Europe, and she told some amazing stories about how they retrofitted the 172s, so she could fly it all the way across and over, and she ferried a number of airplanes.
She's carrying a big bag of gas in the back seat.
That's about what it was.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, so one of the reasons I bring, we've got two CFIs in the room this morning. There is an article I recently read about what's considered to be a healthy respect for IMC among VFR pilots. Now, ladies and gentlemen, IMC means instrument meteorological conditions, meaning that you're flying into weather of some sort. Whether it's thick clouds or even light clouds could be considered IMC, right?
Well, what it comes down to is, you know, you can imagine flying blind, how long you'd be able to keep an airplane in the air.
Yeah.
And if you're not instrument equipped or trained and you go into a cloud, you are absolutely blind. And you probably have not more than a couple of minutes until you have a real serious problem that, unless it's rectified, might be the end for you.
Well, and that's why we do some foggles training with VFR pilots. A VFR pilot, folks, is a visual flight rules pilot. Like me, I'm a fair weather pilot. So if the weather's iffy at all, I'm going to stay on the ground. But if you're an instrument-rated pilot, you have a larger universe available to you.
Absolutely. The FAA does not require any more than 3 hours instrument training for a private pilot certification.
Which isn't anything.
Which is not much. So if you can get a lot more than that, that's much, much better. The military does that. The instrument in the military, they train you to be instrument-rated pilot before you get your wings. And before you do your weapons training, your carrier qualification, if you're in the Navy doing carrier qualification. And that's all done, and it works, keeps you safe.
Now, Rhett, when you're teaching someone in the instrument world, now you're a CFI to a II, right?
Yes, sir.
So that means you are an instrument-rated CFI, so you can teach someone instrument-rating stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, to me, it seems like it's the hardest thing for you guys to do is to move from the left seat to the right seat. You already had experience as a CFI. Now at CFII, you're teaching somebody instrument-rated stuff from the right seat. Was that difficult for you to make that move from left to right?
That initial move from the left to right seat when I started my CFI training was actually pretty hard. Yeah. The first 5 to 10 hours in that right seat, I really was not good at flying.
Yeah.
I felt like I was a private pilot all over again.
That's what I can imagine. Bob Kam said something to me along that line, that one of the most difficult things he had to deal with was going from left to right. And when you're a CFI, you're sitting in the right seat, folks. And as your PIC, the pilot in command, is in the left seat, as is 99.99% of the times that I see people flying. The pilot, the head pilot's in the left seat, right, Gar?
Well, yeah, that's where it is with the airlines. Yeah. Not necessarily so in some military squadrons. But I don't quite understand moving from left seat to right seat. When you're going through as a student and learning how to fly, you're sitting in the left seat and the instructor's in the right seat.
That's right.
Okay, you jump into instrument training now. The instructor is sitting in what seat?
The instructor is still in the right seat.
The instructor's still in the right seat. Then I don't see what the transition problem that you had when you went to CFI.
When I went to CFI. So when I started my flight instructor training, I was in the left seat, and then I switched to the right seat as an instructor.
I got you now. I missed that.
And I'm going to tell you something. What he said earlier about it was difficult the first 3 or 4 times he was doing it, I can really believe that. But as you are teaching people VFR pilots from the right seat, now you're teaching instrument pilots from the right seat. By now, you're comfortable in that right seat.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I love that.
I
right
can vouch that. I'm sure Rhett was completely proficient the first time he sat in the right seat, but it'd take maybe two, three flights before you get comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's always.
Now, John, do you believe that CFIs instill excessive fear during a training process to a VFR pilot about flying in the clouds? How serious are you with these guys? I mean, you don't want to get them freaked out. If they inevitably end up in a cloud they don't want to be in, how do you handle that about not getting them to wig out too much about that?
Well, they get the 3 hours of instrument training with us, and part of that process is doing unusual attitude entries and recoveries.
Yeah,
and
never like that.
And that requires a certain skill level to accomplish that. But we also prohibit them from flying through clouds or above clouds, for that matter.
Right.
They must maintain visual reference to the surface at all times. That means staying below the cloud decks. So if the clouds start to bunch up and the ceilings start to come down, they need to come down, and they get down to a certain altitude, about 2,000 feet, we tell them to come home. To not remain out there.
Are most of the people that you've trained, the pilots that you've trained as a visual flight rules pilot, do they heed that? Do they comply with that warning, or are they rebels and they say, he doesn't know what he's talking about?
Absolutely. Under training, they comply with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're very good about that.
Okay. Well, a robotics firm is confident that Amelia Earhart's plane has been found. And we have a big question and answer session for our pilots. This is the High Flying Radio Hour, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers, who've been our title sponsor for the past 10 years. We appreciate their support. With Garfield Benson, John Nafak, and Rhett Steele, I'm High Flying Jack O'Brien. We will return right after this short timeout.
This is the High Flying Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the blog players put their pads on for.
So we want it, we got to bring it.
My thoughts and observations on our home team, that's what I share with you every week on my blog.
Roland Reich Fleming brings you Hayes Blog on 1010XL.com.
What makes a Honda certified pre-owned vehicle so special? 182-point inspection, 24/7 roadside assistance, first-year free oil changes, and a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty for carefree driving backed by American Honda. Visit your local Honda dealer today.
At usapark.net, you simply take a ticket at the Blue Entry Booth, park your car, and our shuttle picks you up, helps take your luggage, and drops you off at the curbside of your departing airline. usapark.net, it's the easy way to fly out of JIA.
The spring days are longer, and the beach weather magnificent as the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant invites you to join them today. Upstairs in the Penthouse Lounge, nothing better than a Sunday afternoon with cocktails and conversation out on the patio overlooking Jacksonville Beach. But first, head there now for their sensational Sunday brunch. That's a beach springtime doubleheader. The Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, Jacksonville Beach. just a few blocks north of Beach Boulevard on First Street.
High Flying
with Jack O'Brien.
Interested in an aviation career? The pilot shortage is real, and Ascent Aviation can get you started with an affordable Discovery flight. For an appointment to get you in the air, log on to ascentaviation.com. Now in Fernandina and also at Hurlong Field on Jacksonville's west side.
Chris Griffith with 1010XL here, and you wouldn't believe the deals they have every day at Victor's Payless. Brand new sofas, beds of all sizes, mattresses, desks, and more. It's honestly one of the coolest stores when you walk in the many doors. Victor buys all his goods from government auctions, seizures, and unclaimed storage containers, and it's all brand spanking new. Go by and see Victor for yourself at Victor's Payless, 6612 San Juan Avenue, just off Lane.
Mark Watson with Hardball Creative. What's better than beer? Cold beer. Put your company logo on a custom koozie. Check them out at hardballcreative.com.
Hardball Creative. Hardball does it all.
Sports fans, JJ LaSalva here. When I need to send my bride flowers or a plant for birthdays or anniversaries, I always go with Hume Flowers. After all, they've been the leading florist in these parts for over 75 years. You can always rely on Hume Flowers.
Hey, high-flying fans, Eddie the Moocher here from Angie Subs. You ever driven by Angie Subs and wonder why there's so many cars in the parking lot? Yeah? Yeah? Well, let me tell you why. It's because our oven-baked subs are so dang delicious. Our Peruvian sub, you've heard of it. We sell over 200 of those jokers every day. Pro tip, order it on onion roll and ask for it crunchy. And our fries, Jeff Vlogeman says they're the best, and he's had fries in 47 states. It's true. He keeps a journal. Angie Subs, near the intersection of Beach Boulevard and Pinman, lunch and dinner, where all the cars are.
Jack O'Brien and the Wiener.
If you own an airplane, stock up on your pilot equipment at Aircraft General Supply, a longtime high-flying favorite. Aircraft General Supply sells general aircraft supplies, specializing in general aviation, with a mass selection of inventory and fair and competitive prices. Their staff is capable of providing parts right when you need them. If you're a pilot in training, secure your study materials and pilot gear at Aircraft General Supply as well. Aircraft General Supply, just south of Atlantic Boulevard on St. John's Bluff Road.
1010XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555, Jacksonville.
Now back to the High Flying Skies with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener, presented by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Standing here, the earth is spinning on its axis 1,000 miles an hour. Like if I was God spinning a basketball 1,000 miles an hour. And at the same time it's doing that, the earth is going in orbit around the sun at guess what rate of speed? 66,000 miles an hour. 66,000 miles an hour, 1,000 miles an hour. And on top of that, the whole solar system's going through the Milky Way galaxy at guess what rate of speed? 400,000 miles an hour. 400,000 miles an hour, 66,000 miles an hour, and 1,000 miles an hour. And to top it all off, as that's happening, the whole Milky Way galaxy is tearing through the universe at guess what rate of speed? 2.2 million miles an hour. And that, officer, is why I failed to walk a straight line as you requested a few moments ago.
Welcome back to the High Flying Radio Hour. I am High Flying Jack O'Brien, Garfield Benson, John Nafak, Rhett Steele, and of course our guys Bob Cam and Joel Wiener on assignment at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for joining us on this Sunday, April the 14th. It is the 73rd birthday of my brother Steve, who passed away, unfortunately, 15 years ago. But happy birthday, Steve, and I hope you're listening this morning. Also, today is round four of the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, where Scott Scheffler once again is at the top of the leaderboard, leads by one over Colin Morikawa and Max Homa. Scott Scheffler and Morikawa go off around 2:30 this afternoon. Tomorrow is April 15th, and we all know that means tax day. So if you haven't finished your taxes, be a good idea to maybe get a little bit busy and start that up right now. So again, good morning, everybody. And again, a quick thanks to Hardball Creative, USA Park, and Victor's Payless. They've been sponsoring the High Flying Show for a long time now. We appreciate their support. All right, let's one quick note. We talked about Sun and Fun a few minutes ago. The Royal Canadian Air Force Snowbirds. are headlining the air show this year at the EAA, that's the Experimental Aviation Authority's Air Venture this July. That happens, I think, the 25th or 26th of July. But it is RCAF's, the Royal Canadian Air Force's, 100th anniversary. Almost, you're almost in their age category, Gar.
Gee, Jack, I never thought about it that way. I didn't realize that I had anything that was close to the Canadian Air Force as far as age was concerned. But now I feel a lot better knowing.
Popular fan favorite at Air Venture, they were originally known as the 431 Air Demonstration Squadron. And based in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, they do about 60 shows a year. If you have never been to Air Venture and you're interested in anything like the hugest air convention you've ever seen in your life, it happens at the end of July in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Now, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this Amelia Earhart thing. Let me pull her up. There it is. A South Carolina marine robotics company seems pretty convinced they've found Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan's Lockheed Electra in an area not previously searched. That's west of their destination of Howland Island. They vanished back in 1937 while trying to cross the big ocean. They've been searching about a 5,000-square-mile area for almost 3 months when the sonar returns finally spotted something. They applied a theory put forward 14 years ago that an exhausted Noonan forgot to consider crossing the international dateline. And his navigation calculations and directed Earhart to fly a course 60 miles west of where he intended.
Well, that's a pretty big error in navigation, but the thing about it is that dateline, the time Zulu always stay the same, and anytime you're shooting the sun or the stars or anything, it's always on Zulu time. That's the 24-hour green Greenwich time, and starts in Greenwich, England.
Right.
So he may have made a calculation, but who knows about that now? If they're supposing that and they're 60 miles off, then that's 1 minute. So 1 minute out over the ocean is 60 miles. So that's gonna make the error.
So it's a pretty big area for starters. And then when you make an error like that, you could be way off base for a long period of time. Well, we'll see what happens next. See if they find it. Why are we spending this much time and money to find that airplane? It's been almost 100 years ago.
Bingo. Why? It doesn't make sense.
The National Transportation and Safety Board has reported that a couple of pilots that were involved in a United Airlines MAX 8 runway excursion happened last month gave two different reports of runway conditions. Are you familiar with this particular story?
Yes, I am. One thing about when you're landing at a major metropolitan airport, or any major airport for that matter, on the active runway, most active runway is big airports, the runways are grooved, and the grooves go across the runway, and it helps drain the water off the runway so you don't hydroplane when you land. Hydroplaning means that the wheels are actually surfing on top of the moisture that's on the runway. It's called hydroplaning.
Yeah.
And you don't have much runway coefficient with the braking if you have hydroplaning. So those grooves let the water drain off. They always also, if there's really rain runway conditions, they put out, ask pilots, what's the braking action? Braking action say good, poor. One thing you don't want to ever hear from a pilot rep on braking conditions is nil. When it becomes nil, you don't operate. So with that in mind, they were on the runway after landing, wet, and I don't know if they got into a hydroplaning situation, but... Or this could have happened when they turned off the runway on the high speed. Possibly there's no grooving on the high speed. I don't think there is. So then he got into a point where he was hydroplaning on a non-grooved taxiway, and with the speed he was going, it pushed him off the runway.
Now, the captain recalled the runway codes. You and I talked about this the other day. Runway codes being 3/3/3 for runway 26L and 26R. What does that mean?
Okay, there's a they had this little machine and he dragged behind a pickup truck. And it's about 3x3, and it's got wheels that touch the runway, and they drag it down the runway, and they have this computer in there, and when they put the brakes onto the wheel that's behind the truck on this piece of machine, if it starts slipping, then it has come becomes a runway coefficient, and that three is I don't know what 3-3 means, but I know 5-5 means you don't want to be landing an airplane with 5-5. That's slippery.
Well, actually, one of the runways did have a code of 5-5.
Wait a second then. If that's the case, maybe it's on a 10-10-10. I don't know that calculation.
Do you know this, John?
I do not, no.
It was pointed out that the runway codes were 333 and 555. Now, the captain changed.
Where was that, Jack?
This was in
Houston.
Yeah, it was in Houston. The captain changed the auto brake setting from 2 to 1. What does that mean?
Okay, the auto brake system is on any major airplane that's flying right now. And when you touch down, if you have 1 selected and you come into reverse, the airplane decelerates at a certain point. The auto brakes know how much braking to put in there when you're reversing. As reversing becomes less and less effective at braking brake number 1, you'll start getting a little more braking. Now, there it goes to 5. I've never used 5. We usually use 3 auto braking.
Yeah.
So, when you're auto braking, the air deceleration of the aircraft after reversing is taking place by the brake system. In order to get rid of that and have no more auto braking, all you got to do is touch the toe pedals and brakes on the rudder pedals, and the auto braking will come off. So you're the standby, so to speak, of the auto braking situation.
Just like touching your brakes when you have cruise control on your car.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. The same thing happens.
All right.
So he kicked the auto brakes off because he wasn't liking the way the aircraft decelerating, because he was going to do it himself.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened after that point, because it'll come out in the accident summary. We'll find out.
Okay, well, we're going to check with our pilots on some questions to our pilots in our next break. Real quick, I did want to share with you that Southwest Airlines is scaling back their pilot hiring this year. They hired about 2,000 last year and only projecting to hire 350 this year. 160 passengers were evacuated after United flight rolls off a runway and tilts to the side. We may have time to speak about that in our next break. A quick thanks to Kuhn Flowers, Hardball Creative, and Victor's Payless, and of course Angie Subs for sponsoring the High Flying Radio Hour. I'm High Flying Jack O'Brien. We'll be right back after these words.
Add an ace to your Tuesday morning.
The third ace in 4 days.
Brunch with a Tour.
Tour news, tips, and inside info.
Brought to you by Clearwater Irrigation and Art of Natural Stone.
8:30 Tuesday morning on 1010XL.
At Honda, we appreciate all the comparisons to other vehicles. And no matter how many times they compare their vehicles to a Honda, only a Honda is a Honda. Remember, value, quality, safety. There is no substitute. Visit your local Honda dealer now and experience the difference.
Owning your own plane can sometimes require parts and supplies, and that's where Aircraft General Supply can help. For over 20 years, Aircraft General Supply has been the go-to parts warehouse for anything your plane needs to stay in the air safely. Need study materials for an upcoming test or check ride? Aircraft General Store has that covered too. Aircraft General Supply, batteries, tires, oil filters and brakes, pilot supplies, and test prep. Aircraft General Supply, St. John's Bluff Road, just south of Atlantic Boulevard.
Hey, High Flying fans, did you know that Angie Subs has been a staple in the Jacksonville community for almost 40 years? You know why? Because Angie's loves the people of Jacksonville, and the people of Jacksonville love us back. Everybody loves a Peruvian, but the next time you come in, I want you to try something different. The Dr. Bang. Dr. Bang is an Italian sub with ham and capicola, provolone cheese, and mayonnaise baked in the oven. Then we top it with our world-famous chicken salad. We sell a stupid amount of chicken salad. Angie's Subs, near the intersection of Beach Boulevard and Penman. Lunch and dinner. Where all the cars are.
I'm flying with Jack O'Brien.
Andrew Gibson here, sports fans, and the next time you're driving by Kuhn Flowers on Beach Boulevard, why not stop in and smell the roses? Kuhn Flowers has totally changed the face of their store inside and out. Send someone you love a floral arrangement today from Kuhn Flowers.
Mark Watson here to tell you a little bit about HardballCreative.com. It's your online promo haven with thousands of ideas on how to promote your company. We're open 24/7, 365.
Hardball Creative. Hardball does it all.
One of the best-kept secrets in the area is a place called Victor's Payless. Chris Griffith with 1010XL here. I heard about Victor's Payless on the High Flying Show, and what a place it is. I needed furniture and a lot of it after our move to our new home. Victor purchases goods through government auctions and seizures, unclaimed freight and overstocks that include furniture, mattresses, appliances, you name it, plus many grocery supplies too. It's absolutely insane how much money I save. Take it from someone who's been there, Victor's Payless, over on San Juan Avenue, just off Lane.
Now, with two Learn to Fly locations, Ascent now operates in Fernandina. You can also find them at their original location at Herlong Field on the west side. If you yearn to learn how to fly, schedule your discovery flight today at ascentaviation.com.
The spring days are longer and the beach weather magnificent as the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant invites you to join them today. Upstairs in the Penthouse Lounge, nothing better than a Sunday afternoon with cocktails and conversation out on the patio overlooking Jacksonville Beach. But first, head there now for their sensational Sunday brunch. That's a beach springtime doubleheader. The Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, Jacksonville Beach, just a few blocks north of Beach Boulevard on First Street.
High flying with Jack O'Brien.
With over 3,000 parking spaces daily, USAPark.net is the easier way to park when flying out of JIA. High-flying Jacko here, reminding you to log on to usapark.net for first-time user discounts. usapark.net.
1010XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555, Jacksonville.
Now let's return to the High-Flying Show with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
High-flying with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener.
Back on the High Flying Radio Hour. Hello, everybody, and good morning to you. I am High Flying Jack O'Brien with Gar Field Benson, John Nafak, Red Steele, Joel Wiener, my co-host, and Bob Cam are on assignment at Sun and Fun in Lakeland. They will return next month. Quick note that this week in North Florida lacrosse will come on right after the High Flying Show with Ray Carnicelli, and at 11 o'clock, here, Open Gym with R.J. Saunders, our own R.J. Saunders, at 11 o'clock with a show about basketball. I got a basketball Jones, baby. And at noon, the Gators take on South Carolina in collegiate baseball. You hear it all here, 1010XL, Jacksonville Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us again. Now, a couple of questions for our pilots in our remaining time left. We'll start with John Nafak. John, a listener, writes in, Dear High Flying. They didn't really say that. I just made that up. Dear High Flying, when I make a mistake flying, I get really flustered. What can I do to let it go and move on?
Keep flying the airplane. You never stop. And there's no one else up there except you and the plane. If you're not flying it, nobody is. So put the mistakes behind you, deal with what you have, and continue on to what you know you have to do.
That's a really good point. If you're not flying it, nobody is, especially if you're alone. And with the pilots that you guys are teaching, a lot of these guys are making their first solo trips. Some are just around the laps a few times, and then some go 50, 60 miles out and come back. It's kind of a scary time.
Yeah.
So
it's okay to be flustered. Get over it and press on immediately.
All right, Rhett, let's ask you this one. It's easy to cancel a flight when you're obviously sick or the weather's bad, but more often it's more subtle. Maybe it's a no-go, or maybe it's a no-big deal. Is there any objective way to deal with a fuzzy decision by a pilot?
So whenever you go flying, you know, you got to make sure that your head is in the game. Because like John was saying, if you're not flying it, then no one is, right? It's a dangerous thing to be up there in the air. If you're not paying attention to what's going on, then you could get in a bad situation.
There's a wise saying I think I heard once. It's better to be on the ground wishing you were in the air than in the air wishing you were on the ground.
And there's another one. There are old pilots and bold pilots, but there are not many old bold pilots.
Gar, here's a question for Garfield Benson. This pilot writes in, I have no trouble canceling a flight when it's high risk, especially an IFR flight. What about flights where it's not so cut and dry?
Well, you have to go with your ability and what your licenses are. And even though you're an instrument-rated pilot and it says that you can go out and fly instruments legally, you might think twice about what kind of instrument conditions you're going into, because whether it's fog, that's not really good because it gets right to the ground. Thunderstorms, that's not real good either. If you're in a regular stratus cloud and it's nice winter day and there's no thunderstorms out there, you might think about going in the clouds then. And also boils down to how much experience you've had and how comfortable you are in instrument flying, cut and dried. You've got to be
I think you got to be deliberate when
I missed the word, but you got to know what you're doing.
All right, John, spin training. I want to talk to you about this. How is spin training, which folks, if you're learning how to fly, spin training is like part of it. How is it likely to help, given it might be years between training and an actual spin?
A spin training is generally not a requirement by the FAA for certification, with the exception of flight instructor. So Rhett's had that training. I've had that training. The argument is we're losing more planes by doing that than we were actually saving. So that was discontinued long, long ago. The military still does it. It's been talking about trying to bring it back, but hasn't proceeded very far yet. The ideal thing is what that does is make you respect the environment, and you want to never get into a situation where you spin the airplane, because it's a very difficult situation to be down low and to the ground when this occurs. Maybe not be enough altitude to recover. And so the idea is to deter you from entering into that environment. And that's the real value of spin training, besides recovering from the spin itself, is to get you where you don't want to ever get into that situation.
Well, isn't that why when you're doing stall training and steep turn stuff that you're at a minimum altitude of, 3,000?
That's a good point, Jack. We do a lot of stall training and both straight ahead and turns, different configurations. And a good instructor, part of that training will be to introduce a situation where you could enter into a spin, but you recover before you get into it. And you're letting the student know that being coordinated and entering spins and proper control of the airplane is important when you're stalling an airplane. It's better yet, don't ever stall the airplane. Have good airspeed management, and you should never have that situation come up.
But the stall training is an integral part of what we're doing here when you guys are first starting out with it.
Absolutely is, and that's the precursor to a spin condition.
Yeah.
So that's why you do that stall training.
All right, Rhett, the other day a PIREP, Gar mentioned it earlier, a PIREP is a pilot's report that really made the PIREP report really made the difference in launching for a flight. It's motivated to give them the conditions of stuff that's going on in the air that you're not going to get from, like, say, an ATIS report or something along that line. What kind of conditions, Rhett, should a general aviation pilot report?
As a general aviation pilot, you should definitely report where the clouds are at, if it's an IMC day, any turbulence that you feel up in the air, if it's moderate or severe, any icing that you see accumulate on the plane, stuff like that.
And do you do that often as far as PIREPs go, or do you find that in your line of work now, since you're teaching relatively low altitudes with young students, that you don't have the icing that you'd normally have at a higher altitude?
Yeah, I don't have very much icing and turbulent days. I already know what days it's going to be turbulent.
Yeah. Now, John, do you have any tips for navigating on the ground at unfamiliar airports? That's one of the things I had trouble with. When I was starting to fly, going into a different airport for me was like going into a foreign country.
Well, some of these airports are not very difficult to navigate upon when you're taxiing around, but some are very complex, and you need to have the taxi diagram out, have studied the layout of the taxiways, relationship to the runways, and generally the more complex they are, probably going to have a tower in
operation. Shouldn't this be done long before you even start that airplane?
Before you arrive at an airport in both situations. And if there's ATC, there's a tower, utilize the services of the tower and the ground control that's available to assist you in that.
What about non-towered airports now?
Non-towered, generally the layouts are not as complex. have the diagram out, though, and have studied it. And if you're not sure where you are, what you're doing, stop and reestablish where you're at before you proceed again. And that's true of any surface.
Well, there's not one thing, though. If you're really in a deep strait and you don't know where you are, there's nothing wrong with calling a tower and ground control and saying, I want Progressive Taxi. And they'll lead you around. They'll take you, go straight ahead, take the next right, take the next left. Progressive Taxi is a good way to go if you get confused.
But they don't like that, do they? I mean, they think that you're an idiot, don't they?
But you confess. In aviation, you don't want to lie, and you don't want to let your abilities go in the toilet because you're too proud to own up.
All right, that's it for the High Flying Radio Hour on this April the 14th. Thanks again to Garfield Benson and John Nafak, former naval aviators. Now, Garf was a commercial pilot for years. John is now a CFII with Ascent Aviation, the official flight school sponsor of the High Flying Radio Hour. Rhett Steele, good to have you here this morning. Good to see you here. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the High Flying Radio Hour. Coming up next, this week in North Florida Lacrosse with Ray Carnicelli. I'm High Flying Jacko. We will see you next month. Adios, muchachos.
You've been listening to the High Flying Radio Hour, presented by your First Coast Honda dealers. Special thanks to the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, Ascent Aviation, USA Park Airport Parking, the U.S. Army Recruitment Battalion, and by Aircraft General Supply. The High Flying Show is also sponsored by Angie Subs, Beach Banners, Hardball Creative, Kuhn Flowers, and Victor's Payless. Be listening next month for the High Flying Radio Hour with High Flying Jack O'Brien and the Wiener, exclusively on Jacksonville's 1010 XL.